Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Dan Excelsior, the Mostly Marvel show podcast.
It's a podcast, but it's a podcast, you know, we're a show also.
We're a show.
Two things can be true at the same time.
This is episode 132. With you, as always, I'm Ricky, and of course we got Dennis with us.
Hello.
The X-Men continue on our saga of the cinematic universe that was maybe. We're watching X-Men Days of Future Past.
We're basically watching every Fox X movie ever up until we get to, you know, we get to the release of Deadpool 3. And I think we're not covering New Mutants because we've actually already did that one last year. So everything other than that. But we're not doing it by ourselves this week. We got a guest.
Friend of the show. He's back for some more X-Men talk. Travis.
I like how you lower the tone when you say the name. You get it all hyped. You're all friend of the show, Travis. It's like a quiet, just a whisper.
This is NPR.
Straight R&B. Straight R&B.
Yes.
Quiet storm. Quiet.
Travis, the last time you were on the show, we were talking about X2.
He was talking shit about X-Men 97.
No.
I
don't think he was, but I was just saying.
That
journey. When we started this X-Men movie journey, I was trying to get you hyped on X-Men 97, which hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
And I've gotten some fun texts from you since its release.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us, because you never watched the original cartoon.
I didn't, In retrospect, like, you know, when I gave you like my excuse last time, it just sounds like bullshit. And I'm gonna explain why. Like, you know, like for those who don't know, I mean, I started in the gaming industry professionally when I was 19. Okay. And so somehow I felt like the show was sort of beneath me, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like, oh, here you go. You know, like, what is this? X-Men for like, you know, like, this is X-Men for the little, like, seriously, like, I don't, come on. Because I grew up in this realm where, and hear me out, okay? I grew up in this realm where, like, I used to watch cartoons as a kid. But even as a kid, I was like, there's some bullshit going on. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, why does he keep letting Mumra go? Or Thundar the Barbarian, you got like a sword that slices through enemies' weapons and not the enemies. Like, why don't you kill the guys? Like, you know what I'm saying? I had some hardcore questions about cartoons, and they weren't really, I felt like they weren't aimed at me anymore. And so I sort of, you know, gave him the Heisman when I started working professionally, because I'm like, this is probably like X-Men for babies. And so I kind of carried that thought, you know, forward to. And
like Reggie Bush, you're taking that Heisman back.
Yes, indeed, sir. Yes, indeed.
Like, yeah, no, I think the most fun part was when you were texting me and you were like, is this what the original show was? Like, is this like, do I need to be watching this?
And
it's kind of a yes for a teenage kid at that time. Yes, this show was that, but you know what I mean? That was in the 90s. Like in the 90s, this show was doing stuff that no other cartoon was doing, minus possibly, you know, Batman the Animated Series. But even Batman the Animated Series wasn't dealing with, like, you know, all the isms ever.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's like, and this show was from the very first episode. And this show also was killing Morph in the very first story in the show.
Right.
And you know, obviously spoilers, you know, Morph comes back. So if for anybody devastated by, you know, the events of 2 weeks ago, you know, fingers crossed, there are characters that time travel and we might see other things, but you know, when we were talking to Joelle about that, like 2 weeks ago, I said, whatever happens after that episode, it will never take away the emotions I felt watching that episode.
Absolutely.
And that's how I felt every episode of this show is something just like one line here or one line there has just made me go like, whoa, that's serious. Like, you know, my favorite one of last week was Milky Way Ghetto, referring to Earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also really was just having fun explaining the Shi'ar to my wife because she never grew up watching the cartoon either, you know? So like,
So now this is something that I think, you know, and I don't know whether or not Disney Plus is taking advantage of this or whatever, but to me, this has huge like marketing, you know, like substance to it and a legit one. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay. How many shows send you to the comic book store? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and the thing about it is like, this is like, yo, if you like this, this is what you need to read.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Show your work, yeah. Marvel, because I'm telling you, like, how many shows on a regular will throw you into, you know, just legit comic book searching now? And yeah. Isn't that the goal? Like, seriously?
There's some,
yeah. You know, go read the book. You've seen the movie. Now go read the book.
Yes, I agree. And I feel like it's when I do it watching the show, it's more of a state of excitement as yeah. opposed to when I go and watch a live action movie. I'm like, I need to go read how they did it correct. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm never like mad at the way the cartoon's presenting it to me because I know the cartoon's reshuffling things or truncating things.
Well, they just make it accessible, like,
right?
Sure, exactly. Like some of these comics are like months long runs, and you know they're there, right? You can't take that away from them, but
yeah,
is that accessible? You know,
right?
But they're always trying to make sure that you at least get the cliff note version of the thing that you read. So you're not mad. You're not like, oh, they completely changed this. This is horrible now. You know, like, no, you're entertained from the beginning to the end. And I still can't believe how dense every 30-minute episode is in the show.
For like real.
There's so much that happens on that show every week. And like, you know, spoilers, because we didn't get to, Ricky and I didn't do a show the previous week. So when episode 6 aired, and then we're now recording this the day episode 7 came out. So yeah, I know Travis, you said it's okay to spoil a little bit.
But can I just insert this? And yes. This is important. So, you know, we talk a lot about X-Men and how, you know, I feel like my favorite X-Men always gets hurt, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and how is your boy Scott Summers showing up and showing out like on a weekly basis? I don't even know what happened this week. And I'm like, I sure hope Scott's in it.
He's definitely in it.
Okay. You know, so I'm down like 4 flat tires. Like, he has not disappointed this whole season.
He argues with the president of the United States in this episode.
Oh, we. Okay.
Right, Ricky?
Okay.
I didn't finish this week's episode.
Oh. Okay. So I'm spoiling for everybody.
I'm down. It's
okay.
It doesn't matter.
Just real recap. We all saw last week, right?
Yeah.
We saw the reveal. I was really happy to know that they weren't actually changing the lore, because I think I discussed this with you guys before. Like I was confused by the trailers for the show because I'm like, I just watched the whole show last year all over again. And I distinctly remember it not ending with Professor X dying. So I was a little confused about how the marketing was all saying that, because he was dying on the show, and then his alien girlfriend came, rescued him, and said, we can fix him, but he might not ever be able to come back, you know? And that's how the show ends, with Professor X leaving and trusting his students to take over. So this whole season, when they've been selling this lie of, like, we buried Professor X, blah, 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 I've just been a little confused by that. Like, I was like, is it like a not exactly continuation of the show or what? You know, I was like, I find that hard to believe. I feel like that's a really big way to end the show. And so I was very happy that they didn't wait to be like the big reveal at the end of the season. So in episode 6, we see what's going on with Professor X. He's alive and well, mostly. He's got his boo. He's got armored legs that help him walk.
But why the whole planet got the same hairstyle? Yes,
they do. They got the metal perm.
I can't.
They're like bird people. Like,
what is going on? They're at like the barbers. Yeah. Is there even a barber? Technology. Somebody get a flat top in that whole planet.
I think. Damn. I think it's like feathers. Is what it is.
It looks like a helmet. It's actual hair.
Oh, they wear a helmet on the hair. You didn't see that. They literally take like the helmet off, and it's the same shape as the hair.
That was the ridiculous part. Come on now. That was the ridiculous part. Yes. I'm like, come on, dog.
My favorite part
is your hair that hard. What's going on?
My favorite part was explaining to my wife. Okay, so the Empress is Lilandra Nirmani. Her evil brother, who was named Deken, and their sister is named Deathbert. and it's like, what do you do with that? Like, what? Who named the third one Deathbird?
Deathbird.
Like, that's such
how does that even happen, yo? Like, you know, is Dad like rocking out or something like that? I think I'll name a Deathbird. You know, like what's going on?
It's pretty nuts. But I will say that actress served it though. Like she was fucking amazing.
Hated Charles.
She hated Charles. She's a bitch to him. And she's like, you know what? If you want to marry my sister, you gotta forget everything ever about who you are, basically. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, you got to totally tuck it, Xavier.
Yeah, like, exactly. And damn. So I thought it was a really cool episode how he ended up solving the problem by using his powers to like completely take them to school. I don't know how well that's going to fix the problem, but like it was nice to show them. I also really liked when he was like, I respect that you said the quiet part out loud. You know, like that was good. That was good. So that was a great episode and all. But it was a down note from the previous week. Right. Cause I think
it was,
I think a lot of people were like, what happens next?
Oh yeah.
And I kind of respect them for giving us the Professor X then and there, and then resolving the crazy storm story with the adversary and oh my God, seeing her in her original costume. Like that was amazing. I just love that.
Yeah.
But it's still on the whole, that episode was like, yeah, okay. All right. You know, like I checked IMDb just to see like what, you know, each episode's rated. Episode 5, which is Remember It, 9.8.
Yes, sir.
Episode
when does that happen, right?
Episode 7 is already at an 8.9. It's pretty great, and it does do the thing that we wanted to last week, right? Which is continue. We get the funeral. Woo! The funeral's rough. It's for Gambit. It's not Magneto's funeral because the X-Men are dicks, whatever. I don't know. You know, like they just it's Gambit's funeral. Nightcrawler is now there with them, and he gives a beautiful sermon, a eulogy, and then everybody's like really sad and grieving together, and then they're kind of like, wait, why isn't she here? And you realize that the one person that should be there above all is not there. And Rogue is on a tear. She is flying across the planet looking for somebody to answer for this problem. And this girl goes on a fun little world tour of the Marvel Universe. She pisses off General Ross.
So she's just whooping ass the entire
episode?
Yep.
She ends up confronting Captain America.
Oh, snap.
Because basically she knows, she believes Gyrick has to know who's in charge of these giant sentinels.
Sure.
And you know, last, you know, Gyrick's not where he was in the first episode of the show anymore. So she's trying to get answers and find out. She ends up going to Captain America, and he's like showing her like this hidden base that he's been investigating with OZT written all over the place. And he has discovered that Gyrick is now being holed up in South America somewhere. I can't remember where. And, you know, he wants to go out there and help, but he's like, hey, it's not going to look good if Captain America goes, you know, and starts beating people up. So I'm going to wait it out, you know. And Rogue is like, oh, so you're not down to help the mutant cause, huh? And she's like, this is a cute little shield. Chuck, she just tosses it. I don't know, a couple miles away. And then she bounces. She just dips out. Rogue is not playing right now, dude. She just ditches Captain America's shield, and he's like,
what she gonna do?
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? You can't fly.
Yeah. So the investigation leads them to Gyrick, and then you know, Gyrick eventually rolls over on where Trask is. Like they go all over the freaking place in this episode. But when you finally get to Trask, it's all the X-Men are there with her to support her. And you get the impression that they are, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Prime Sentinels.
Yes.
They're like human sized sentinels that like are integrated with bionics and stuff like that. Yeah.
Terminators.
Yeah, basically human sized Terminator. Yeah. Like, I mean, they're Terminators are too. Yeah. They see a lot of hints of that. They end up confronting Trask. Trask is actually going to kill himself because he's just like, you know, they even make a joke about him about being like the poor man's Oppenheimer and stuff. Like,
yo.
Like, and he's going to kill himself, and they don't, you know, she doesn't let him. And she grabs him before he jumps off a building and tries to let him have a chance to redeem himself by like saying who's in charge, where they can find him, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't spill the beans. She's like, oh, okay, lets him go.
Nice.
Rogue crossed the line. And like all the X-Men just sat there being like, what did we just see? And I don't want to go any further beyond that because I think I've already spoiled a lot, but
I have never been so mesmerized. Like, you broke it down.
And we got
you three broke more? It down. Bravo.
Yeah. We have three more. It's a three-part series. It's a three-part finale.
Can I I know that there have been some, rumblings about the showrunner and how everybody's like, hey, yo, if homeboy is kicking it like this, I mean,
what is the show after he's gone?
Can we get a GoFundMe together so that we can just put this cat back on the show?
I know. I don't.
I don't care what you're doing.
I kind of do care what it, like, I gotta believe.
Was it salacious? I mean,
you gotta believe it has to have been super salacious. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. This guy is cooking with the secret sauce, right? And like, and they had to have seen that. They had to, they were.
So was Gundo, right?
But yeah, but I'm saying like, he was handing them. I'm just saying. Yeah, but I don't think they'll make the same mistake like that anytime soon. Like, I think whatever this guy's doing, remember freaking Kang. Everybody dropped Kang like a bad habit except Disney. Disney waited. They waited until the verdict.
Yeah.
And then 1 hour after the verdict, bye. You know what I mean? Like, so I think they learned a lesson from James Gunn, which is like, don't be so quick to judge. Yeah. So that's what leads me to believe that whatever the hell Bo DeMeo did, oh my God, I'm kind of terrified. I don't want to know.
Well, not
I
don't want to. Nothing's come out, but the speculation.
That's also more terrifying.
He was very difficult to work with. It wasn't salacious, but he was just he was the office dick.
If he's just the Dan Harmon of the show, then yeah. Hey, eventually Community hired to back Dan Harmon. So I just only take comfort knowing that he oversaw all of the writing of season two already. Season two's already done. Season two's done.
Serving up quality.
I know.
Let that man cook.
I know. It's amazing. It's so amazing. And there's so much that I didn't tell you about this episode. I just wanted to get you excited for when you do go watch it.
You know,
Ricky, did you get to the Captain America?
I did watch that. Yeah.
You got to the Captain America part. Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Voiced by Josh Keaton. He's voiced him in a lot of the cartoons and video games, I think. And so, you know, it's weird because we get little hints of things that want to connect it to the movie universe and then other times not, you know, like, dude, when Forge bust out some desert magic last week and it looked exactly like Doctor Strange's effects, like I was like, I've seen magic on this show before, 30 years ago. It did not look like that, but
yeah,
props to you. So
yeah,
it's cool. I'm so happy with the show that like I go and watch these movies, like, and this week, you know, we watched Days of Future Past and they just don't. They don't satisfy me the same way as Wednesday morning does. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not. It's not it. But with that said, I know we are going to be talking about Days of Future Past later today. Ricky, you wanted to go over some news before we get there?
We have some stuff, a lot of toys, but let's get into it. The real biggest only piece of news thing that came out in our absence, we got a new Deadpool trailer.
Man, cool. We got the
art, the Red Band trailer.
That was the only trailer it was. Yeah, yeah. I was like, Disney is not playing anymore. They just don't even care. They're like, we need the money. We just need the money. We'll do it. What did you think of this trailer, Travis?
Man, look, like, you know, there's fan service, and then there is fan white glove fan service. Let me tell you, this trailer had everything that a fanboy's soul wanted and needed. It was like the ultimate burrito of, like, it really was. I mean, I'm just like, okay, seriously, like, from the classic poses, okay, to the interaction, to more of the fourth wall, because Liefeld still can't draw feet.
I know the Liefeld feet thing was so good.
Like it. Like, To the Ant-Man
corpse. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what is this giving me? It is giving me everything, and I can't take it.
And you know what's so funny also? Like, the thing that's Dennis,
I can't take it. And the best part about it is they know it. They know it. And that's why at the end of that trailer, you said, let's fucking go. Mm-hmm. I mean, holy shit. Like, we have all witnessed, like, the brilliance, the absolute brilliance that has been, like, the Deadpool, like, marketing, like tie-ins and, you know, and how, I mean, it's not even the fourth wall. It's like, I don't know, the ninth wall at this point, right? Like, it's so meta, right? Like, Deadpool is so meta. And what I'm saying
they're,
is,
like, fighting, like, behind a 20th Century Fox logo.
Yeah, I have never, ever witnessed, like, such a perfect blend of marketing and artistic genius in my entire life. Like,
yeah,
like this, it has everything you need. And damn it, let's fucking go.
Remind you, this movie comes out during Comic-Con. And I can't imagine, or can't wait for the excitement and the tone of that movie theater during that premiere, while we're all there.
Do we see it during Comic-Con? Do we do that? Is that a thing we do?
I mean, do we do it? That's the question. Am I doing it? Yes.
Wow. That was kind of rude, right? Like, that's like, you know, we just do a podcast together for 3 years, you know, whatever.
I mean, if you want to come, yeah. I mean,
if you want to come, yeah.
If you're invited.
Do we? Yes. Are you kidding me?
There's not a theater downtown anymore.
Right. There's not?
They took it out.
Oh, no.
Actually, it might be something. It might still be a theater, but it's not there, what it was.
I think there is, but, well, if it's not there, then it's somewhere else. It's fine. It's fine. We just go home or just stay up late that night, I guess. Whatever. It's fine. We got to do what we got to do. We got to suffer for the greatness, you know? So, yeah, I'm very happy with your enthusiasm for that. I just have one question for Ricky. How happy were you that those sleeves got torn off?
Pretty happy. I need to see it in motion. I need to see more of it.
He was very salty about Wolverine's uniform because he had sleeves. Yeah.
You wanted to see him all yoked?
Yeah, yeah. I want to see those arms. Last time we're going to see him.
I forgot what podcast. I was listening to something, and one of the guys said this, and I agreed. Like, Wolverine should look like he stinks. You know what I'm saying? Like, right? Like, you stink, right? Like, and that was so good about this, you know, even that bright yellow mustard suit, right? It's not clean. He stinks, you know, and I'm like, ew.
I feel that in a lot of the movies that we've been watching lately. Like, he always feels like he's really sweaty. He's just really sweaty all the time.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, does he get, like, butt rash if he doesn't wipe right?
I mean, he heals automatically.
Yeah, he heals automatically. Yeah, like, so, yeah, maybe it happens, yeah, and then it
so
doesn't.
He doesn't care. He can't feel it. He doesn't have to wipe because his body takes care of it.
Yeah.
This is what you get on Dead Excelsior.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, yeah. He's uncircumcised, right?
What, like, the that's hell? All that. Oh, yeah. Yes, he would have to be.
Yeah.
Well, no, because mutant abilities don't
manifest yet.
They manifest in puberty. Yeah.
Most of the time.
Well, we know when his manifested, when he was like 12, because he stabbed his daddy with his claws.
Yeah, well, yeah. They weren't doing that back then, though, were they?
What, stabbing dads? They were stabbing dads since dad's been dadding, you know? I feel like
Christianity has been around a long time. A lot longer than Wolverine's been around. Exactly. what else you got in the news?
We got toys. Should we just, like,
you
can just get into it?
Go through them. I want to hear Travis react to each of them. What do you think of that?
Oh, that's Warbird. Really nice.
So, Warbird is Captain Marvel.
Yes. It's before she becomes Captain Marvel. Yes.
Okay.
But we used
her
to call
her
Miss Marvel.
We used to call her Miss Marvel, yes. And this is the character that the Rogue in X-Men 97 has stolen all the powers.
Her powers,
that's why Rogue is just unstoppable.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, but this figure is great. These figures, do we have a more zoomed in shot of those? They're beautiful, but I was just curious if there's another shot. That's nothing. This is a two-pack, Giant Man and Wasp. This giant man is actually a complement to the HasLab super giant one that's coming out later this year. It's the same exact costume. And then that wasp is the classic Janet from like the original Avengers comics. They're really cool figures. I love all the weird
domestic violence Hank Pym.
Yes, that's domestic violence Hank Pym. That is correct. That one actually went up last week and then was delivered a few days later. So it's already available on Hasbro Pulse. It's a really fantastic set. And he comes with a little tiny Quinjet. It's super cool.
Nice.
Target exclusive animated series Carnage. There's a lot of texture going on in that toy.
Wow.
That's cool.
Toy.
That is really cool. That is
dope.
That is really cool. Scar. I feel like that's like the worst picture you could have gotten for this toy. The foreshortening going on right now.
Like, yeah, white. Like, you can't, Ricky, please don't close with this dude. Is that what you're closing with?
No, he's not.
No,
okay. We're not thinking, look at that. Okay. There it is.
Astonishing. Okay. That was Scar, this by the way.
First appearance? Not first appearance.
No, this is Astonishing X-Men Wolverine from the Joss Whedon run.
I like the belt.
Yeah,
it's a cool suit. John Cassidy designed this one. It's a new version, but it's also an homage to the OG suit. Mm-hmm. That's a great figure. Spider-Man.
Superior I pre-ordered Spider-Man. This guy.
This guy is so cool.
Wow. The mirrored lenses look so good.
He comes with two heads, one with reflective eyes and one with white eyes.
Is so that still available?
You can get it on like Big Bad Toy Store and stuff.
I had to explain who this guy was to people at work.
Do you know who this is, Travis? This is Dr. Octopus when he possessed the brain of Peter Parker.
Oh, wow.
If you've never read that, I highly recommend it. It's called The Superior Spider-Man. It is fantastic because originally he set out with like ulterior, you know, evil supervillain motives. But what ended up happening is like the consciousness of Peter kind of like rubs off on Otto. And so mm-hmm. Otto just really gets really into this whole superhero thing, but he's determined to prove that he could do it better than the original Spider-Man. It's super funny, man.
Wow. Like, it's also the suit that was going to be the Raimi Spider-Man suit.
It was like when they designed this suit, or when they were designing Otto's suit, they pulled out an old Alex Ross design for the Raimi Spider-Man. Huh. And that's what this suit is originally. Yeah. It's really cool. It's a cool figure.
Is that still available?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can go to like Big Bad Toy Store and order Superior Spider-Man. And then look at that Luke Cage and Iron Fist, man. Those are chef's kiss right there. With the
knuckle dusters.
Oh, okay. he's got knuckles that say Luke and Cage on them. Like, yeah, brass knuckles. This one just went up for pre-order yesterday, I think. This is amazing.
Did Netflix ruin them for you?
No.
Luke Cage?
Luke Cage.
Oh.
Really? Really? Like, that's where you went?
The other guy.
That's where you went.
The other guy is, yeah, that is bad. But was it Netflix? Yeah. I mean, I kind of like
with Iron Fist right now.
I needed him in the suit in the next look show. I know he was in the suit for like a hot second. Kind of like a weird, or there was a guy.
I'm glad it was only a hot second. I want this. Don't ever put it on again.
No, give me the suit.
Why couldn't they pay? Like, dude, do you know any martial arts?
Oh no, he did not. It was terrible. That was embarrassing.
And I'm like, seriously, seriously.
The cool thing about
it's fucking Iron Fist. What? Seriously?
The bare minimum.
Seriously, Netflix.
Just so you know, the toy does not screw up. The toy actually comes with like six pairs of hands, just to make sure you can do all the poses. Look at this thing. Look at this thing.
Yo.
Look at this Danny Ketch Ghost Rider from the 90s. All the goodness. Plus, it fucking pops a wheelie. It pops a wheelie, man.
Please tell me it lights up.
No, it doesn't light up. But you can run some LEDs in that.
Sadness.
Yeah, but that is sense. That is a thing of beauty, though. I am very excited for that. All of these things were revealed at the Hasbro live stream, I think, last week. And different ones will be getting available for pre-order at different times. I think so far just the Wolverine, the Spider-Man, and the Luke Cage Iron Fist have become available. Next one is Carnage, and no date on the Ghost Rider and the Warbird yet. But those, I think these guys are killing it. That whole wave basically was to celebrate, or it's a line of figures just designed to celebrate the 85th anniversary of Marvel, which is what this year is. So they're just hitting all the different corners of the Marvel universe. And
absolutely,
I'm very excited to see what else they've got going on for it. Mm-hmm. Really cool. You got anything else, Ricky?
That's
We could gush over Deadpool some more, or we could just go into Days of Future Past.
I felt like I chewed up all the Deadpool time. Please.
You did.
Yeah. I gotta hear from someone else, because was I even close to your level of like, what the hell?
For me, like, I enjoyed every moment of that trailer. And at the same time, I kept thinking to myself, I am not watching any more trailers for this movie because I don't want any more before the movie, because I'm so excited for that movie that like every little nugget they show me, even the Rob Life or the Liefeld like feet store thing, I was like, oh, I wish I'd seen that for the first time in the theater. You know what I mean? Like that's such a nice little thing. So like, yeah. And like Cassandra Nova is the villain. She's probably cool. I don't think the villain of, I don't think the villain of any Deadpool movie has mattered really at all.
No, right? Like,
that's not the point of the Deadpool movies. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. You know,
is it the TVA?
Well, the TVA is the one that recruit him, I think. Yeah.
I don't care.
Are you asking if they're the bad guys of the
movie? Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. I do like, I thought that was funny, all the stuff you mentioned without even mentioning the fact that it's all in the backdrop of he's working for the TVA, which I think is the most meta thing of the whole thing, because it's combining all the meta all at once, you know,
all of it.
The only way the only way that movie gets more meta is if She-Hulk shows up and also breaks the fourth wall with him, then it's the most meta. But fingers crossed. But that's why I don't want to show you more trailers, because I feel like there's so much they can spoil. They can spoil so much.
And at the same time, I know that it's what we've seen ain't even it.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't even it.
And that's why I'm so
excited. And that's the crazy part.
Yeah. But that's why I'm so excited, because like for me, I'm like, we're about to talk about a movie, an X-Men movie that I really do like. But Ricky got me so excited when he's like, when we were planning next week, and he's like, so next week we're watching Deadpool. And I was like, thank God. Thank God. Don't get me wrong. I've enjoyed some of these X-Men movies. They're cute, right? Like they're like some of them excel better than others, right? X2 is still my favorite of all of them.
Yes.
But that's when I say all of them, I mean all of them. Pre-Deadpool, like, because Deadpool is giving me the X-Men movies that I want to see. You know what I mean?
So, absolutely.
But yeah. But with that said, let's forget about him for right now, for poor Wade, and let's talk about the thing that we came here to talk about.
X-Men Days of Future Past came out in 2014, directed by Bryan Singer.
Same year as Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
Same year? Oh, no, that was 13.
Hmm. Was it 13?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. I do remember that. Was this Age of Ultron? Was it the same year as Age of Ultron?
This is before Age of Ultron.
Okay. I do remember how huge of an ovation this crew got when they brought out the cast at Comic-Con. And what was funny about it is, like, I think you talked about it when we watched First Class like 2 weeks ago, right? You were saying how, like, I kind of wish that Days of Future Past wasn't right after First Class, because
100%
because it's not fair to the new cast of people. No. Right, they should have gotten one more movie before we got to this, because that's the weird thing. It's like, you know, Comic-Con, when the fans are all there, everybody, like, they bring out Hollywood stars and you're just like, yeah, let's go. And then, but like, if you really, in hindsight, if you really think about it, was it that impressive that we got some of the actors from First Class to come and do a second movie? Like, no, like, the impressive part was all on the other cast, yeah, right? The other cast of the movie.
They were doing a second movie with or without the old cast. But like we pointed out last year, or last yeah. show, it's like, you have two actors that could die in a year. you have contracts and shit that are crazy. Wolverine probably doesn't want to be Wolverine anymore. So,
yeah.
And the Avengers just came out. So you have to, you need their counter, right? And that's what this was. This was their Avengers movie for the Fox.
It was. And so, like, that's, you know, I applaud them for the effort, and I applaud the, I think the execution's pretty good. I think it is pretty good. But, like, I think it would have hit different if we were more invested in the new cast, like the way we were invested with the old
100%.
Cast.
Oh,
100%. Absolutely.
You needed a second movie with the X-Men team, a realized X-Men team in practice that goes through some type of struggle where Charles loses a kid.
You need a cast that makes me not sit around thinking, when do we get to go back to the future for a few minutes? Because that shit's way better.
It's way better.
You know, like,
yeah.
Then you get, it makes sense why he's mopey. It makes sense why he dropped the idea, because he killed a kid, or killed, you know, someone died on his watch. And then you go to Days of Future Past.
Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. yeah. We needed, like, and on top of that, like, we're still so far away from getting the Professor X we're supposed to get, right? Like, mm-hmm. like, this one's just shooting up to, like, walk around. Like, what is going on with him and Beast? They just got, like, their own little dope clinic going on in the freaking... They're just shooting up daily in the mansion.
Why does it have to look right? like you're doing heroin?
I know. Like, that was right? intentional. They were definitely...
I mean, I know it was, but, like...
Yeah. So... Yeah. Yeah, so like I think we've done a really poor job at summarizing the story. But the story basically of this movie is the X-Men that we knew and loved from the original franchise. They are battling in what is implied to be around 2023. So like last year, it's a dark future where the mutant population has been gathered up and put in like internment camps and stuff. And all the remaining ones are out there being hunted by like these insane Sentinels. And I just, one, thank God they finally got Sentinels in an X-Men movie after seven tries, man. Like, this is the seventh X-Men movie. Like, I mean, how many Sentinels have been in X-Men 97, dude? Like just all the time. All the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're just cranking them out. You know what I'm saying? This little Sentinel monster generator pumping them out. Like,
It's true. Like, that's literally what they do. They shoot out Sentinels. So it's been really weird to like have all these X-Men movies where like they kind of tease it. And then even like X3, like they fight a Sentinel in the Danger Room. And you're like, what is that? What is that thing? You know? So, So I was really happy that this entire story is actually about the development of the Sentinel program. Mm-hmm. And it's taking place in real time in the 70s. But also we're seeing the full, you know, circle, what's come of it. Because I guess the story they've created is that they find out that Mystique is actually kind of to blame for these crazy, super evolved bionic Sentinels that can adapt to any threat. Because they're actually using Mystique's DNA that Bolivar Trask captured in the 1970s when she, or his team captured it when she assassinated Bolivar Trask, right? So their cool idea is like, after all these years of never doing time travel, they're like, I got an idea. Let's do some time travel. And that's also kind of weird too, because like time travel happens so much in X-Men. that it's weird that like we're finally getting Sentinels and time travel in an X-Men movie after all this time. You know what I mean? Like, these are like staples of the X-Men like stories. And so it's really cool that they adapted, you know, Chris Claremont's story of the same name. They changed the way it works, where this time they're sending Wolverine back. It's actually a really logical reason why they send Wolverine back, because like he's the only actor that would look the same age, you know, back then. And now.
Like cheaper that way.
Yeah, it's cheaper that way too. Yeah. And you get
look at all
and
that
get,
dope CG.
And you get to have the fun special effect of like Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, but with the bone claws one more time, you know. So that's kind of a fun nod. But yeah, he's sent back in time, like into the body of his younger self, to go and gather up the X-Men who have all dismantled, and they've got to come. Magneto and Professor X have to come together to stop Raven from going on her murderous beginnings and prevent the Sentinel program from happening. And then, you know, basically to sum up, Magneto gonna Magneto. He kind of messes the whole thing up. You know, Raven gets to like reach the hearts of humans.
They gotta like rework the play. Yeah,
by giving them a little bit of hope that not all humans are Magneto, or not all mutants are Magneto. And so all of the events that they do end up causing the entire, X-Men universe that we know to be rewritten, and we no longer have to pay any due to X-Men The Last Stand. That movie does not exist in continuity anymore. And when we end the movie, we get to see that all of the X-Men that you know and love are alive and well. And Cyclops gets about as much acting in this movie as he does in all the previous movies. Kelsey Grammer shows up for like a hot second to be Beast one more time. And Wolverine's like, wow, you got some splaining to do, you know, because he's very confused. But yeah, it's a happy ending for the old X-Men, and then credits roll, and then you're like, but don't worry, we're going to do more with these other ones. And then you get a weird and Sabinor teaser.
Yeah, which...
honestly, here's the thing. Before I'd say any more...
You're pretty hyped when that happened.
I was out of my mind. I was like, oh my God, Apocalypse. And then Apocalypse.
But in hindsight, don't you wish this was the last X-Men movie from that franchise?
Oh, absolutely.
If it had ended right there, that's beautiful, right?
It was a great movie.
I liked way more than I disliked. Yes.
Yeah, no, this movie is definitely
one to call. Oh, absolutely. And I got to see Bishop.
And Bishop time travel.
Yeah.
I got a Blink. Blink was amazing, too.
All I'm saying is like, you know, in the comic, I had never seen a black dude pull off a mullet the way that Bishop did. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, this cat is cool. He's cool enough to rock a mullet. Okay. All right, Broham. You know, like, dude, you got a mullet, and you still cool.
The mullet is fierce in the old cartoon. By the way, it's impressive. No, yeah, we got a lot of cool little cameos. Like, if you go and bother to read like the IMDb, like if you go like check like all the things that Bryan Singer actually meant to do, like the other characters he wanted to include in this, you'll get very sad. You'll get very sad if you read that. So just celebrate the ones that we did get to see. I think my favorite thing about this movie, and I got to say, after as many times as I watched it now, it's not as impactful as, like, say, watching a Deadpool movie, but I really love that you get to see the X-Men get horribly murdered, not once, but twice in the same movie. Like, thank you, time travel. That is why time travel is the best. Because you get to do horribly cool things with no consequences at all, you know? And watching Colossus get ripped in half by two Sentinels
was
disgusting. Like, that was gnarly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the other ones. Like Bishop straight up exploded, right? Like, they exploded.
Well, Iceman, they decapitate well, him, right?
They decapitated Iceman and shattered his skull or his head.
Yeah, he's just and he's just murking kids, you know what I'm saying? It's very dramatic to see, no matter what.
Storm Shank.
The guy, the Warhawk? No.
Warpath and Thunderbird are two names. Yeah, I can't. I think he's Warpath, right? That one.
Yeah, Warpath.
Yeah, yeah. When he's the last one fighting Sentinels with knives, what are you doing?
You might as well tuck it, man. You might as well get out of here, man. Just run away, dude. Like Warpath, come on.
No, it was. More movies need to show heroes getting murdered.
Yes. But Travis, tell us what, how did this movie sit with you then? And how does it sit with you now? Like what, how do you feel about this one?
This is around the same time where, you know, Marvel started being something, you know, and it was always like, you know, at some point, like Marvel became Coke and Fox really became Pepsi, right? So
what was Sony at this point with the Amazing Spider-Man,
Mr. Pibb.
or Shasta. You know what I'm saying? Like for real,
Flat Shasta.
And so, I just couldn't, like, as good as this movie was, mm-hmm. I couldn't help think, man, I just wish, like, Marvel could get these characters, man, and just do better.
But it was, like, you know, it's a rising tides lift all boats situation. You know, we had some good competition.
No, we hadn't even seen Deadpool. Like, do better, Fox. Come on, man. You know, like, come on.
And remember,
you got a rally. You got the fucking mutants. Like, what's wrong with y'all?
And remember, at this point, they had fought Ryan Reynolds for like already 11 years on letting him make his Deadpool movie.
Yes.
You know, like, so, like, I'm very happy that they let him do it because of the success of this movie. You know what I mean? Like, this movie did the thing that it needed to do, though, which was at least let fans know, all right, it's not the worst thing that Fox is running this show. You know what I mean? Because we understood at the time that like it would be more dangerous if like Feige had to oversee all of Fox, all of Sony, and you know, all this. This is before they started doing it, and then they did it like a year or two later, and we're like, they started taking putting Spider-Man in Civil War, you're like, okay, you're gonna start stretching yourself a little bit. And then like a couple years later, they're like, hey, we're just gonna buy you Fantastic Four and Fox so that you can play with all of them. And now it's just stretched so thin that I'm just amazed that Deadpool movie is coming out after all this time, because I want an X-Men movie under the leadership, but I don't want it at the sacrifice of everything sinking a little bit more because of how stretched thin he is, you know. So
absolutely.
So I do appreciate what you're saying about the rising tide lifts all boats, but like Marvel was like a tsunami compared to you know these little fishing boats that were X-Men and Amazing Spider-Man. Like it was nuts, like how much better they were. So right. I like Days of Future Past. I really do. I think it's a fun movie. I still think it didn't have as much to say as X2 or X1. You know what I mean? Like
you're right. I mean, they could have. My watching this on the set for again since it really came out, you know, they could have really done some cool stuff with Peter Dinklage, right?
Like, yeah.
You have a character who
is basically a mutant.
He's a mutant. Yeah, he has a genetic mutation. Is it one that's, you know,
is it desirable? Yeah,
I'll say desirable, but you know, is it? Do you get powers? You know, of the
no,
that's a spectacular power. No, so I think they could have leveraged that type of grudge into his character.
His mutation is technically legally considered a disability. You know what I'm saying? Like, like legally.
Well, that brought me to like that question then. Like, are people born, you know, with disability, are they mutants in that universe?
I mean,
will a Sentinel just come on site with like a dude at a, you know, at a crossing?
Well, I mean, we got to see in the future. The future looks pretty bleak, right? Like everything is destroyed. Yeah, there weren't a lot of shares in the future. At some point, I'm feeling like they turned on the humans too, right? Like that's kind of the that's
well, they said that they said that they said they yeah. turned on people who would pass on the gene.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's pretty. I mean, it has the potential of being like Terminator. You know, like this is essentially what this story is, right? It's Terminator. But I felt like it's Terminator with the kid gloves, with the exception of the fun fake deaths that we get to see. And I call them fake deaths because they end up not being the true reality at the end.
Right.
Right. We talked about it. I mean, but as we wrap up, this gave us the superior Quicksilver.
Yep. That's highlight of the movie still is Evan Peters.
Oh, good. They brought him back.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think my big problem with the movie is, okay, you just went all across America to go get this guy to help you do this one thing. And then when he was done, you're telling me he was so obnoxious that you said bye and then like didn't say, you know, you might be useful for helping us with this next thing we got to do. Or like he really had nothing going on, you know?
Nothing.
He's just, like he's just playing ping pong with himself in his basement.
Yeah.
He breaks the movie for me because he's so good, right? Like that's the problem I have with Quicksilver in this movie.
When you have a character that is just straight up reality breaking, okay?
Yeah.
It's hard to figure out ways for them to enter and exit, you know, in a way that's elegant. And so, yeah, that being said, I mean, I appreciated the hell out of that performance. I mean, you know, it was just like that amount of power is just gross.
Yeah.
It's just gross. And so that was what was so beautiful about the scene is it was like, holy smokes, man.
And I was super annoyed that he had a little sister. I was like, you're supposed to have a twin sister, bro. But I found out like I found out there's actually a deleted scene where he mentions that he has a twin sister and a younger sister. So the younger sister is implied to be Polaris. Yeah. Polaris. Yeah. Oh, and so Wanda is just not shown in the scene, but like, because they do reveal in the next movie, right? That he is Magneto's son.
They make it known.
But he's like way more powerful, right? Like I feel like, yeah, he's just juiced. But yes, you're right. He was a joy to watch. He was a joy that he's literally picking bullets out of the sky and moving them around for fun. Like, well,
yeah.
I'm guessing he records his music at like 150 times speed, right? So that when he plays it,
at least.
It's cool. But. I this hour went so fast, Ricky. I really enjoyed.
Like we're Quicksilver, you know. We gotta slow it down sometimes.
I know. Thank you so much for doing this with us, Travis. I mean,
oh, thanks for having me.
I'm down to stick around for a few minutes afterwards and chat more if you need to get more off your chest, more questions. But like, I'm really glad that we got to talk about these two movies, like or these two stories. And yeah, I look forward so badly to next week.
Absolutely. So bad.
Well, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Are you heard it first? You were wrapping up here. I totally fucked up that transition.
You did.
Thank you, Travis, for joining us this week. We hope to have you on another one of our X-Men shows.
You know I will.
Coming up. And next week we got Deadpool.
Yes.
With that.
Thank God.
With that, true believers, enough said.